Hey, real estate investors, it's Jonathan here, and we're going to talk about the letter of intent. This is probably the meatiest video in this entire module, and it's probably the most important as well, because here we're talking about the document in which you actually make your offer on the property. So what are we going to cover in this video? Well, we'll talk about the purpose of a letter of intent and how to use a letter of intent to set the terms of the negotiation. Now, I have to make this disclaimer because I am a lawyer. So what I have to say is I'm a lawyer, but I'm not a real estate lawyer, and I'm definitely not your lawyer in any case. LOIs and contracts involve complicated legal issues requiring specialized expertise, so you may not rely on anything here for legal advice. You must hire your own lawyer to review your LOIs and contracts. Now, what is the purpose of the LOI? Well, in a commercial transaction, first of all, you must make a written offer to start negotiations. And your LOI sets the terms of the negotiations. It forces the seller to negotiate off your points and locks the seller into a position before you even start negotiating the contract. Now, how do you use the LOI to set the terms of the negotiation? You want to use your LOI strategically. Now, many buyers don't put much thought into the LOI at all. They just use it to offer a price. But this is a huge missed opportunity to control the negotiation from the outset. You want to use your LOI not just to offer a price, but also to establish the contingencies to closing, the hard money deposit amount and the timing, the internal timing deadlines. So, you know, your inspection period, your financing period, all of the deadlines that you have to hit in the interim to close the deal, the due diligence materials that you're entitled to receive, and all of this. By doing so, this forces the seller to counter your proposals and negotiate off your offer. So the less you leave open, the more the seller has to negotiate off your proposal. So the more detailed your LOI is, the more you lock them into before you even get to the negotiation of the contract. So what are contingencies exactly? Well, a contingency is an event, the happening of which allows the buyer to obtain a full refund of its deposit, or conversely, the happening of which requires you to close or makes your deposit go hard. But basically, it's one of these sort of if X, then Y type situations. So the standard contingencies are seller default. So if the seller fails to convey the property, then you get your money back. Now, this is so basic that it isn't even stated usually, and I wouldn't put this in the LOI because it's so obvious, but this is kind of like the basic contingency. They must give you the property in order for you to pay the money. The next is inspection. So during the inspection period, traditionally, the buyer is allowed to terminate the contract and obtain a full refund of their deposit for any reason or for no reason whatsoever, as long as it happens during this period. Right? So you don't even need a reason. All you do is have to say before the inspection period is have to say, we're terminating the deal. We want our deposit back, and they have to give you the money back. Financing. The financing contingency says that the buyer may terminate the contract and get the full refund if they are not able to arrange suitable bank financing within the time period. Title. The buyer may terminate the contract and get a full refund if the seller is unable to convey good title to the property. Survey. The buyer may terminate and get a full refund if the survey reveals a major defect on the property. And environmental. The buyer may terminate if the inspection reveals some undisclosed or unknown environmental issue on the property that impedes the ability to finance, etc. And finally, there's structural. You could write this separately. Usually you don't because it's wrapped up into the inspection itself, but you can state it separately, particularly if you are, as we talked about before, making a bid with hard money day one. You may want to write a separate contingency for structural defects just to make sure that you get your money back. But typically you're not going to put this in the LOI, but if you are going to do hard money right away, then I recommend that you do it and at least force the seller to negotiate off that point. Now, the contingencies are going to change depending on what kind of market it is, whether it's a buyer's market or a seller's market. And I don't mean that the contingencies themselves change, but what I mean is what you can get in terms of contingencies is going to change depending on who has the power, whether it's the buyer or the seller. Now, in a buyer's market, you're typically going to get all of the standard contingencies, and you can even add your own. You can start making up contingencies if it's enough of a buyer's market. You know, you risk sending the seller off someplace and saying, I don't want to deal with this guy. But you can add more contingencies if it's really a buyer's market and the seller really needs to sell. But in a seller's market, the contingencies are going to erode as the market strengthens. So as you are transitioning from a buyer's market into a seller's market, you're going to see these contingencies start going away because, you know, as I said before, when you're bidding, what you want to start giving away terms before you give away price. And one of the ways that people start making their bid stronger is they start giving up some of these contingencies and making their closing period shorter, et cetera. But what you'll see as the market strengthens is contingencies disappearing, and usually the first one to go is a separate financing period, right? So you're going to have to wrap, you know, your financing period into your due diligence period and get that done faster. You're not going to have like a separate period to go and get financing, and you won't be able to terminate the contract just because you can't get financing unless it happens during that inspection period when you have a basically, you know, a get out of jail free card. Structural, the same thing. You're not going to have a separate structural contingency. This is just going to get wrapped up into your inspection period. On the other hand, there are certain contingencies that really almost never go away at all because they really go to the heart of the contract. You'll notice, though, as we go through this list, that inspection is one of them, and that's something that typically shortens, but it doesn't go away. So title will never go away. You can't buy the property if you can't get good title. You won't be able to get a loan on it. You won't be able to get insurance. So title is something that will never go away. The survey. You're always going to have a survey. If the survey reveals major defects, then that's not going to go away either. And the survey, for instance, would, you know, a defect that it could reveal is, for instance, one of the buildings is actually on the land next door. And, you know, you may laugh, but this really does happen. So in that kind of circumstance, you wouldn't be able to buy the property. So the survey is a contingency that's not going to go away. Environmental is not going to go away, although it's probably going to be subject to negotiation, right? And when I say it's not going to go away, I mean, you're going to want to put this in when you have hard money day one, right? But you may have to wrap this into if you're not doing hard money day one, you may have to wrap this into your inspection period and hope that you can get your environmental done, you know, before your money goes hard. Seller default, as we said before, this is never going away. This goes to the heart of the contract. If they default, obviously you don't have to pay them. And in fact, you can sue them and force them to convey the property to you. And then inspection. This is never going to go away either, but the inspection period will definitely shorten the tighter the market gets. So you'll have to start wrapping up all these things into your inspection period as the market gets stronger and stronger. Now, another important part of the LOI is to set the timing. Now, in a buyer's market, you can usually get 90 to 120 days to close, or maybe even longer if it's really a buyer's market and the seller really, you know, wants to make sure this closes. In that circumstance, you know, you'll probably get between 60 and 90 days to inspect, another 30 days to arrange debt financing, additional time to wrap up and close the deal. So you'll have a lot of time, you know, especially this is good if you're raising money and you haven't done it before. You know, this gives you a lot of time to raise the money, for instance. In a seller's market, though, you may have to compress everything into your inspection period. And you may also need to shorten the inspection period on top of that. So this means that you're going to have to finish due diligence, the title, the survey, the financing, and your equity raise all during the inspection period, or your money is going to go hard with you at risk of not closing the deal. All right. And if you can't close, you just give up that money, right? So you lose it. Whether the market is a buyer's or a seller's market, you want to make sure that the clock does not start running until the seller has provided all of the due diligence materials requested in the LOI. Now, it's very difficult for sellers to object to this because it's going to look like they're trying to hide something from you. Okay, so this is something that you should always ask for, and it's set up in the LOI that I set up for you. Always ask for it. Lots of people miss this, and the clock starts running the minute that the contract is signed. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure that the clock doesn't start ticking until you've had the chance to say, yes, we got everything that we requested. This is going to buy you a little bit of extra time because most sellers are not prepared to provide all of the materials on day one, right? So they're going to have to take some time to get the stuff together that you've asked for. So this will give you a little bit of extra time. Usually. In addition to timing, the LOI allows you to lock the seller into providing the due diligence materials that you need to evaluate the deal. Now, again, whatever kind of market this is, the seller is not going to object to this because it makes it look like they're trying to hide something. And my LOI provides a very long list of due diligence materials. So when they sign the LOI, they're committing themselves to providing those materials. Now, they may push back and say that they're not going to provide something, but that's usually because they don't have it, right? So they're probably not hiding something if they specifically say, we don't have this, we're not going to agree to provide it. You might want to push back and make sure that that's the case, but generally that's the case. So they won't agree to provide stuff that they don't have, but you are locking them into providing what they do have by using the LOI that I've set up. Okay, and there are a couple of other additional considerations for the LOI. Generally, an LOI is non-binding, and that means it's not a contract, and it's going to be superseded by the contract. So whatever is in the LOI, you must get into the contract. You must review the contract side by side with the LOI to make sure it all gets in, because if it doesn't get in, then legally, only the contract is binding, and you can argue till you're blue in the face, hey, we agreed in the LOI that the seller would do such and such a thing, but if it didn't make it into the contract, it's like it didn't exist. So make sure that it gets into the contract if it's important to you in the LOI. So as I said, the seller's not technically bound by the LOI, but in practice, once they've agreed to something in the LOI, it makes it very hard for them to go back on it because they've already agreed to it, right? You guys have committed. And so they've got to negotiate away from that somehow. They've got to concede something to you since they've already agreed, right? So this is why, even though the LOI is not binding, it's really important to get them committed to a position in the LOI. There are two provisions, however, that you should make binding in the LOI. And the first is the confidentiality of the negotiations and the materials provided, as this you know, gives the seller comfort and it also protects you. And the second, this is even more important, is off-market. You want the seller to stop marketing the property to other people between the time that the LOI is executed and the time the contract is signed. You know, signing the contract automatically takes the property off the market and gives you control of it. But there's that time period between, you know, while you're negotiating the LOI, negotiating the contract, where you want the property to be off the market because you don't want somebody to swoop in and take the deal away from you. So you want to have them bound to taking the property off the market while the LOI is being executed. All right, so now what we'll do is we're going to take a quick visual tour of the LOI that's provided with the program. And this is provided in Word form, by the way, so you can copy it and cut it and paste it onto your own letterhead and use it on your own deals. So we'll take a quick pause here to go look at that. All right, so now we're back with the letter of intent that comes with the program. Let's just take a quick tour through it. So you'll notice that this is in Word form, so you can cut and paste all of this and put it on your own letterhead and use this in an actual deal. All right, so we'll just take a quick tour. You'll see you're going to put the property name here and identify it just to make it clear what property you're talking about, street, address, etc. This is your company that you're going to put in. You're the purchaser. You're going to spell out the purchase price and put in the number. And here's where you put in the amount of your earnest money deposit offer and the timing of your earnest money deposit. Usually it comes in two tranches, once when you sign the contract and the second when you finish your inspection period. If you are going to go hard with your money, you're going to alter this this sentence right here. If you're going to go hard earlier, or if you're going to go hard on different, you know, sort of periods, depending on what contingencies there are. For instance, as we talked about going hard day one, you may have specific contingencies that you're putting in here. You may waive all contingencies except for the contingencies in here, etc. But you're going to adjust this accordingly. So if you're going hard day one, you're going to want to put in your environmental carve out, your structural carve out, title, all the things that we talked about, survey, etc. in this paragraph, okay? Otherwise, all of your due diligence tends to get just wrapped up in here, and you don't need to specifically name it. Now, here's the time frame. This is very important. We talked about this in the video earlier. This is where you set out the timing so that your start date for all of the timing running is not until after you receive all the due diligence materials. Now, typically, all of the paper due diligence materials are things that they're going to send you, but the lease files are things they make available on the site because they're very copious and they can't. It's very difficult to copy them all. So you can tell the seller, hey, just give me everything other than the lease files, which we'll review on site when we do our due diligence visit. And you can, you know, say you're ready to start the date when you've received everything else. Then it sets out the timing as if this were more of a buyer's market. So you have a lot of time. You've got 60 days from the start date to do your inspection. You've got 75 days to get your financing done. You've got closing 90 days. You can buy additional closing for additional escrow deposit. And it also builds in extra time automatically if you have to do a phase two. Now, you're probably going to get pushback on this in the seller's market, but in the buyer's market, I think you'll probably get this automatic extension. Here, this says that you're going to get the due diligence materials, which are all attached to the end of this exhibit. This talks about access to the property during inspection. This is about the title that they're going to convey. You talk about the ability to assign this LOI to an affiliate. You know, it may be the case that you are signing this LOI in the capacity of like your promotional company, but you're going to have a separate LLC that owns the property. This allows you to assign this LOI to that other entity. This is prepayment penalties on the loan that exists on the property. The seller has to do that. Closing costs. This is about the division of closing costs. Every state has got sort of a standard division of closing costs, so you want your attorney to review this and make sure that this is consistent with that. Brokerage commissions. Now, this is set up to say that the seller shall pay all realtor's commissions, which is typically the case. But if you want to come in and make a stronger offer, you might want to say you're going to pay the commissions. You have to be sure to, when you go to the contract, though, that this gets wrapped up into the price because your lender is not going to want to pay the commissions. So this has to be included in the price. But you and the seller both know that the price that you offered includes those commissions. This is the provision that taking the property off market while you're negotiating your contract. Skipping to 13, this is the confidentiality agreement. And then 12 makes it non-binding, but it preserves 13 and 11 as binding provisions. Okay, so then here you say this is open for a certain number of days. If they sign it, then you're going to negotiate a contract. Very likely they're not going to sign it. You're going to get some pushback on here, but you'll negotiate this over a couple of days. And in good faith, they should take the property off the market while you're doing that. Here is the exhibit, and we're going to talk about all of these materials in the next section. But this basically locks in the seller to providing all of these due diligence materials for you. And once they do, they're going to, that's when you say the start date, you know, has begun, right, for the time to start ticking. So the seller may push back on some of these things because they'll say, well, we don't have them. That's fine. It's best to get them in writing, you know, email is fine, saying that they don't have it. And that's the reason why they're not providing it. Okay. So that way, if they actually do have it and they've withheld it from you, you have a cause of action for fraud against them. But very, very unlikely to happen. All right, so that is a quick tour of the LOI. As I said, you can cut and paste this to suit your needs as you're doing deals. And be sure to just run it by your own attorneys to make sure that there's nothing out of line for the state that you're operating in. All right, as always, if you have questions on the materials, be sure to ask them in the Facebook group or on our monthly calls, which are the first Wednesday of every month. But be sure to check the time in the group, as this is subject to change from time to time. Now that we've finished talking about bidding, we will talk briefly about the purchase and sale agreement and the few things that you need to know about that as a non-lawyer. So I will see you in video 6, the purchase and sale agreement. See you then.